If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 3 in the King James Version. Or you can look at the screen if you don't have your Bibles. It says, "And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord," which means the Messiah. "And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now I want you to stop for a second. Read the Bible as a newspaper. If one angel freaked them out, what do you think a multitude of angels just did? Right? I mean, here you are, you're outside, you're not a shepherd, we'll put it in our, you're outside playing ball, okay? You're outside cutting grass. Angel shows up. Oh. See, that's my interpretation. The light's got to be so bright it hums, right? And you're freaking out, and then all of a sudden there is a multitude of angels. Just thought I'd throw that in there. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you. We want to pause on this day, in this celebration, and we want to thank you for sending your son. We honor you today, Jesus. Let everything we do, let everything we say, let every song we sing, let it come from our heart and let it honor and glorify you. Father, you know where each and every one of us are in our journey today. I ask your hand to touch and be upon each and every one of us, to encourage, to strengthen, to help, to guide, to protect, and to bless. And we thank you for that. And everyone said,
Amen.
We've been doing a series called The Perfect Gift. You know, usually, I didn't do it this year. Usually I ask people who's done shopping. You know, some people shop, you know, I mean, months in advance. Some of you are going to start shopping next week for next Christmas. I just know it. Some of you don't start shopping until like last night. Some of you have plans to go to Walgreens after church, you know what I mean, and see what's left over. You know what I mean? Get a real good deal. And shopping for a perfect gift, and that's been the theme of this last few weeks, and shopping for a perfect gift, you know, it can be difficult. Because if you're buying for a lot of people, every person's going to be different. And once you figure out what that one person needs or wants that's a perfect gift for them, it changes by the day. Because what you bought them last year is a perfect gift. You can't repeat and do it again. They're in a different place of life.
Right.
And that we have tried to take this concept that the perfect gift, which obviously we could all say is Jesus. He is the reason for this season. But the birth of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago has to be more than a historical event.
Right.
It has to be more than something that was on our calendar or history books or in our movies or some way we can talk about way back in the day.
Right.
Because besides being called Jesus, he was called Emmanuel, God with us.
Yeah.
And if he was a miracle then, he's just as much as a miracle today. If he was a giver of gifts then, he's just as much a giver of gifts today.
Yes.
If he touched people then don't you think he'll be touching people today? And that's what we've tried to communicate, that on our journey of life, we're all uniquely different, equally important, but uniquely different. And on that journey, and it changes for each and every one of us, God is with us wherever you're at, regardless of it, where you're at. You might not be serving God. Don't worry. He's not going to leave you. If you once knew him, he's still there waiting for you to come back to him. But we've talked about that in the journey of life, that the perfect gift has to be more than one gift 2,000 years ago. But this concept of a relationship that keeps on giving, Jesus knows where you're at. He knows what you're needing. See, even in Acts it said that Jesus went about doing good. So that could mean different things for different people. For someone who maybe has been living in sin and you're feeling convicted and you know I'm not right or in the right place with God, that perfect gift for you today would be salvation. And mercy and forgiveness. For someone who woke up and you're like, man, that pain is back and you're hurting and you're trying to take some pain medicine to ease the pain, that perfect gift for you would be healing today.
Yeah.
It could be grace for somebody. It could be direction for somebody. It could be experiencing the love of God. It could be peace and rest on the inside. It's different for every person and it's different for us based on where we're at in our journey of life. But the good news is that he's still with us.
Yes.
And I think one of the sad things at any Christmas time, first of all, if a child didn't have a gift, but I guess what would be more sad, in my opinion, would be if there was a gift for a child and they never received it. Can you imagine getting to heaven and God saying, you know what, I'm so glad you're here, but let me show you the room. What's all this stuff? This is stuff that I had for you. That you never received. So how do we receive the gift that God has for you? Or for me, or for the person next to you, specifically today? Because it doesn't have to be, I want you to understand, it doesn't have to be world-shaking to shake your world. There's been times in my life, just all of a sudden I was going through turmoil and feeling the peace of God come and bring rest into my own life. It was world-shaking for me. My neighbor might not have known it, and it probably wasn't a flag or a sign or a billboard about it, but it made a big difference to me. And I want you to know that the Bible tells us that God knows the details of your life. Jesus said, if a sparrow falls from the tree, your heavenly Father sees it. How much more important are you to him? And what we have to realize is it's not that God's a candy man for us to live any way we want, and if we want something extra, we ask him. But you have to understand that, first of all, he is God. And secondly, he's your heavenly Father, and he's a good Father.
Yeah.
And he loves doing stuff for his children.
Amen.
Greedy is not, I want. Greedy is, I want, and I'm going to keep it for myself.
Come on.
But God wants you to receive. So we've talked about, how do we receive whatever God has for you today, whatever it might be, wherever you're at, in whatever place in life, I truly believe that God has something for you today. That you might experience in this experience today, you might experience on your drive home, you might experience as you're walking through your house later on, wherever. I never want to confine God to a building or to a service. Some of my greatest experiences and personal experiences with the Lord have been outside a service.
Right.
And that's why I can tell you without any question or hesitancy that he is real.
Yes.
More than religion, which I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules that get to God. More than a religion, a real relationship with him. And when you're in a relationship with him, he's with you and he's giving to you what you're needing today.
Amen.
So how do we receive that? Good question. I'm glad you asked. Otherwise, I have to stay there. Real quickly, Revelation chapter 3 says this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I want you to notice something. Jesus said, I'm standing. I'm standing where you're at. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. But notice the next point. Whoever hears, not the knock, whoever hears my voice, that's the one who's doing the knocking. That's the sound of the person who owns the sound of the knock.
Yeah.
See, in life, we can hear the knocking of God, but not realize it's him.
Yeah.
We can see God touch people's lives. We can see people be blessed. We can see people get healed, saved, delivered. We can see God do the amazing in our routine. But how many times do we just kind of brush it off of, wow. And we forget to say, thank you. Forget to recognize who really is behind the knock. When that car just happened to miss you by 2 inches on the highway. When all of a sudden they called and say, you know what, that bill is canceled. Don't worry about it. You know, when the doctor says, you know, we got a clean bill of health. Don't worry about it. Report's all good. Sometimes we don't hear his voice behind the knocking. And for us to receive from him, we have to be willing to recognize him. That's why Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. You have to know who he is before you can receive anything he has. You have to know who he is. See, if you don't know him as a savior, you can't be saved. If you don't know him as a healer, you can be saved, but you can't receive healing. If you don't know him as your shepherd and as your provider, you can be saved and healed, but miss out on the blessing. There's a divine connection between who he is and what he has for you. So how do we receive? First, we got to recognize. Second, in that verse you see again in Revelation, it says, whosoever will open the door. We have to learn to open our lives. Open our hearts. Realize that he's God, we're not. Right. And that we're open. We see that even in the story of Mary when the angel came and said, hey, Mary, here's what's going to happen. And she was freaking out at what the angel was saying and what she was seeing. And she finally came to the place of, be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. Say that with me. Be it unto me according to your word. Well, that was partially good for 20% of you. Let's try that again. Be it unto me according to your word. You will never say that to God unless you know the goodness of God first. You will never stand before God in prayer and say, Lord, whatever you want to do, Father God, amen. Unless you know how good he is. And when you understand who he is, you're going to open up and say, Lord, whatever you have for me, I know it's to my benefit, not to my hurt. See, religion will tell you that the closer you get to God, he's going to make life miserable. He'll take away your job. He'll make you sick. He'll put cancer on you so he can get glory. But I'm here to tell you that that is a lie of the devil. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. And people that preach it really don't believe it, because if they came down with cancer, they would try to cure it. If they didn't have enough money, they would try to go to work. And the ones who preach it usually take offerings. If God wanted you poor, why take an offering? No one should have money, right? But your Heavenly Father loves you so much that the best that he has for you is the best life that you could ever live. And you'll never open up to the place saying, God, I trust you and I'm going to do what you want me to do. Be it unto me. Unless you know who he is and you can trust him. But it doesn't stop there. Once we begin to receive what God has for us, what do we need to do? And I want you to draw your attention to two things that we see the shepherds do. The first one is in verse 20. It says, and the shepherds returned. What do they do? Glorifying, look at the next words, glorifying and praising God. I think that speaks volumes right there. We need to be willing to give God the credit. Yes. I mean, when you woke up this morning, you opened your eyes, you need to give God the credit. Because there's some people today that did not wake up. You might not like the car that you are driving. It might not be the best car, but if it got you here. Because there's a lot of people out there that have no transportation. You might not like the house. It might not be the perfect house yet. It might, you're still growing in this thing with God and with life, and there's better things ahead of you. But wherever you're at, if you have a roof over your head, you need to praise God. Because there's people today that are sleeping under bridges. Amen?
Amen.
When we begin to recognize God, begin to praise God, begin to give God thanks for what he's doing in our lives, it changes our whole attitude about life.
That's right.
It opens us up to keep receiving. Because some, you know, it's like a child that has several gifts, but they're so stingy that the first one they get, they hang on to.
Yeah.
Well, how about your second gift? No, I'm hanging on to this. You can hang on to the first gift and cost yourself the second gift and the third gift and the fourth gift. Because to open the second gift, you got to let go of the first gift. Which leads us to the second thing that the shepherds did. I want you to notice in verse 17 and 18. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What did they do? They shared it. Say they shared it.
They shared it.
First they celebrated him, then they shared him. They told others. If you want to live what we call the John 10:10 dynamic life, dynamic living is God's best for your life on this side of eternity and also getting a full reward when you get to heaven.
Yeah.
And in the rhythm of dynamic living, you can't fly under the radar. It doesn't mean that every restaurant you go, you have to stand on the chair and tell everybody shut up as you pray real loud for your food. That's annoying. I've learned when I'm eating with people and they had a really long prayer and they're praying for everybody and their mother and every person in every country. My food's getting cold. God delights in me eating good, warm food. You know what I mean? He might not care if your food gets cold, but for me, he doesn't like my food to get cold. I figured out that they got their head bowed, eyes closed, they're praying, and after, you know, I mean, give them 60 seconds. If they're still praying and don't look like any end in sight, I start eating. I'll get done. Now I'll close my eyes. Amen. What happened? So sharing Jesus doesn't mean you have to be weird. I don't think it means you have to be confrontational either. And that's the only way. I remember back in the day, I can say that now. Back in the day, the only way we knew about witnessing or sharing the gospel was to stand at the street corner of places like people coming out of bars or, which makes you wonder, how do you witness to someone who's drunk? I mean, it really has to be you have to be packing some anointing that day because you have to first get them sober before you share the gospel, right? But anyway, you know, I mean, it was stopping strangers on the street and asking them if they were going to die right now. Do they know where they're going to spend eternity? You can't do that today. Yeah, they might shoot you first. You know, you don't know. It's just a reality. If you're going to die right now, boom! Hello, Jesus, where am I? You know what I mean? How do you play that? But we have found that one of the greatest ways to share the gospel is to meet the needs of people, to love people, to not try to fly under the radar, not be obnoxious, but be real. And just when you're real and you have the real Jesus on the inside, I'm telling you, things happen. And it's one of the most powerful things. Sharing Jesus doesn't have to be a weird thing, but it can be a real thing. Amen? And so let me end with this one verse. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. In the Message translation, I like the way this reads. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others are helped. When we try to cling to everything to ourselves, we end up losing. What am I telling you? I don't know where you're at in your rhythm of life, but maybe you didn't even get a Christmas gift this year. Or maybe the gifts you got weren't the gifts you wanted. Let me encourage you. If you didn't get a perfect gift, why don't you be a perfect gift for somebody else? Amen. And see what God will do. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.